Salvation is free. Our entrance into heaven, so to speak, is paid for fully by what Jesus did on the cross and the resurrection. But there is cost in following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that today. Jesus names that cost here in Luke chapter 9.
You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And Junior, you want to get started? Verse 1?
Yep. It says, one day Jesus...
It's a long chapter. With these long chapters, we just aren't able to comment very much. If we had to do it over again, we probably would have divided them after like 30 verses or something. But we're going to just read through it.
One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveling bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in someone's house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. Now, I have had a real quick comment. Mm-hmm. I have had seen people see this like, oh, this prescribes like people in ministry should not have anything. Mm-hmm. It's not what he's doing. He's training them. And no, when you go through training, it's like basic training in the army. You have to go without to learn how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Bible college for some of us. So they began their circuit of villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about everything Jesus was doing, he was puzzled. Some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Others thought Jesus was Elijah or one of the other prophets risen from the dead. I beheaded John, Herod said. So who is this man who I hear such stories? And they kept trying to see him. He kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Then he slipped quietly away with them toward the town of Bethsaida. But the crowds found out where he was going and followed him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were sick. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, "Send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There's nothing to eat here in this remote place." But Jesus said, "Well, you feed them." I love how, and God still does this today, by the way. Is when we see problems, God's like, "I want you to solve this, though. This is why I have you here."
Yep.
This is what Jesus is doing. "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?" For there were about 5,000 men there. Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. So the people all sat down. Jesus took out the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets, one for each, of leftovers. One day, Jesus left the crowds to go pray alone. Only the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other ancient prophets risen from the dead." Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah sent from God." Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone who he was. "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," he said. "He'll be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He'll be killed. But on the third day, he will rise again from
the
dead."
And it wasn't time for him to do this, which is why he said, don't pass this on yet.
Yeah. Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. I mean, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here now will not die before they see the kingdom of God." He's talking about the church there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. We believe that to be Mount Hermon in northern Israel. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly 2 men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from the world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Peter and the others had fallen asleep, and when they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and 2 men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, blurted out, "Master, it's wonderful for us to be here. Let's make shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. You want to take it from there, Dad?
Sure. Verse 35 then, so it's Luke 9:35. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. They didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Now, John writes about this later, which is pretty cool in his epistle. Verse 37, the next day, after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to him, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they could not do it." And Jesus said, You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you?" And then he said to the man, "Bring your son here." As the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. Awe gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. While everyone was marveling at everything that he was doing, Jesus said to the disciples, "Listen to me and remember what I say. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies." But they didn't know what he meant. Its significance was hidden from them, so they couldn't understand it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Then his disciples, verse 46, and his disciples began arguing about which of them was the greatest, which, you know, such childishness, and yet we may not outwardly argue that, but I don't know. I think we do at times, and we think that way. We're comparing ourselves to each other all the time.
Name-dropping, one-upping each other in stories. It's exactly what this is.
That's honestly why I struggle even in going to some pastors' gatherings and conferences. Yeah. It's like everybody's trying to show forth.
Any networking event, to be fair, though, it's pastors aren't immune to it, but it's like any networking event is
It is that way. Yep. But Jesus knew their thoughts, so he brought a little child to his side, and he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who sent me. Whoever is the least among you is the greatest." And John said to Jesus, so in other words, what Jesus is saying is it may be natural for us to want significance, but the way to gain significance is by serving other people. John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." And Jesus said, "Don't stop him. Anyone who is not against me is for you." At the same time, as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. That's like he focused on it. He's going for his Passion Week. He sent messengers ahead to the Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. But the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" like they could do that. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. So they went on to another village. As they walked along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Well, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head." He said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, let me first return home and bury my father," which doesn't mean that his father was dead. It meant, let me go home and see my father die. And but Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." Another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go say goodbye to my family." But Jesus said, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God."
All right,
so we get into chapter 10 tomorrow. Is Saturday, and read your reading in chapter 10. We look, it's actually not as long as the reading we just did, so it's only 41 verses. So chapter 10, then chapter 11, do your reading, and we're going to get over to Psalm 119. It actually starts in Psalm 119, verse 105, goes to today's reading, goes to the end of the chapter, and so we're going to get into Psalm 120 then tomorrow. Yeah. But this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, actually, verse 105, so we'll just focus on that. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And that's what God's word is for us. It's like being in the darkness. And if you've ever been in a really dark place, it's hard for us to imagine because we live in modern times with electric lighting everywhere. But if you've ever been someplace where it was really, really dark out in the woods at night with no lights anywhere, even at camp, there's usually some light around. Yeah. But you get to a place where there's nothing. That flashlight is a lifeline.
Well, when I was in Germany this last a few months ago, I was touring like a prison from, you know, when they were communist, and they had this room.
East Germany,
yeah, East Germany. They had this room that it was pitch black, and they said they would throw people in there, and after 2 to 3 days, they would go crazy.
Mm.
Because just being in that pitch darkness. So just the idea of being in that pitch darkness is awful mentally. Yeah.
And he says here, in life, this is where we're at, that it is God's word that shines the light on there. Man, if you're not into the Bible, if you don't know the scriptures, you don't have that light that's so necessary for us to illuminate our path, to see where we're going, to see what is important, what we should avoid, the pitfalls to avoid, as well as the direction that we should be walking in. His word is so important. So do your reading this weekend.
That's right.
And don't just rely on the podcast. I'm glad you're listening. We want you to keep listening. We love that. We love doing this. But when we're not there, you need to know the word yourself, and you need to be committed to it without us. So do your reading this weekend.
All right. Well, you'll see it all over social media, I'm sure, because our society eats it up, and I'm not demonizing it. But it is International Women's Day today. Mm-hmm. So appreciate the women in your life. I have a house full of them.
Yeah, you do.
That I love dearly.
You not only are a girl dad, your dog is female. I mean, you've got no males.
That's right.
In your household, man.
That's right. So, but I do have a nephew now, so that's kind of nice.
Yep, we got one little boy. Yeah. It's funny, those cousin pictures are a blast to look at. You got that one little boy in a sea of girls.
That's right. All right, well, enjoy International Women's Day. If you're not a woman, well, then wish the women in your life
because God gave them to us on purpose. And I'm so blessed for the women in my life and the women I'm surrounded by and our church. Man, could you imagine our church without the women that
would be
so
awful.
Happen?
It'd be awful.
So, all right. Hey, have a great weekend. See you in church and read your Bibles. God bless.